Hour number two of Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app. Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, Nick Frazier here with you on a very special Saturday. Very beautiful weather. I think you guys should all go out and take a stroll. Later today on ESPN 94.9 The Fan, the Nashville Sounds take on Norfolk with first pitch at 5:35 p.m. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds baseball on ESPN 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Welcome back in. So we're going to do something new every week here on the program. The past few weeks, we've had the bold take thing, and, you know, I think things got a little bit heated, so we're doing away with that.
That is a way to put it.
We're going
to
do something a little bit new here. So last night, we put out a poll, and we will put out these poll questions in advance, so you can go ahead and vote. You can still go vote. We will take your answers right now, and we'll also take your text and calls at 615-737-1025, the game. Oh, well, that's not, the game is not the number, but 615-737-1025 is our phone number. So, the poll question we asked last night, because I was kind of inspired by a conversation Frazier and I had yesterday, and it actually got some debate on the text line, so I want debate here. Who is the current best quarterback in the National Football Conference, the NFC? Our options are Jalen Hurts, Jaden Daniels, Dak Prescott, or other. But if you say other, I expect you to text in or comment on the tweet or what have you, or call in and tell us who and why. So I'll reveal the current standings of our poll as it stands right now at 10:04 a.m. on September 6th, 2025. Jalen Hurts is in the lead with 47.4% of voters saying he is the best. Jaden Daniels in second with 31.6% of voters voting for Jaden Daniels. Dak Prescott in last with 7.9% of voters saying Dak Prescott is the best quarterback in the NFC. And any other quarterback in the NFC is in third with 13.2% of voters. So, gentlemen, I turn things over to you. Who is the best quarterback in the NFC?
I'm sticking with it. It's Jared Goff.
Jared Goff.
Look, he took the Rams to the Super Bowl. Sure, they did not win. But I look at the success he's had in Detroit as putting that on Jared Goff's shoulders. That guy has led that team to all their success. I'd say majority of their success. But for them to lose to the 49ers in the NFC Championship game a few years back.
Feels like a few weeks ago.
I know, right? Football's back. You just get in that mode. I would not put that on Goff's shoulders, because if you're Dan Campbell, you should know better of that play calling. I'm sorry. It's just, I know I'm nitpicking here, but Jared Goff deserves a lot more respect as probably the best quarterback in the NFC currently. And I mentioned it yesterday, the amount of weapons he has around him. Jameson Williams is finally coming into his own. Amon-Ra St. Brown, a stud, obviously, in the NFL. We're getting to that point with Isaac Tesla, Sam Laporta. Then you have your 1-2 punch, the modern-day smash and dash with Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery. That is a loaded offense. And nonetheless, Jared Goff is capitalizing on all of that. He distributes the ball well. He's able to, you know, progress the game at a quicker pace. Just allowing that offense to have more possessions on the field and not really wasting much time, all right? I mean, There's the poll out there. It was Jalen Hurts, what's his name? Jaden Daniels and Dak. I look at Jalen Hurts because it was the leader in the poll. I look at him as a good game manager. And I don't look at him as the best quarterback in the NFC. I look at him as probably the best game manager in the NFC.
That's how I look at Jared Goff.
Really?
I think Jared Goff fits that system perfectly, but if you were to plug him in anywhere else, I don't think he would be able to lead you to a win.
Well, yeah, if you put Goff on the Eagles.
And you could make that argument for the Eagles. Eagles have the most talented roster in all of football, I think.
That's fair.
But you look at how that offense is run, and it runs through Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
Like, if Jalen Hurts, his reads are locked up, contrary to what Jeffrey Simmons says about Bo Nix, Jalen Hurts is going to take off, and he's going to hurt you with it. Jared Goff, I don't think, can do that. But I think Jared Goff works well with the pieces around him, like Amon-Ra St. Brown and Sam Laporta. I just think Jalen Hurts has more tools and more X-factor elite firepower than Jared Goff does.
Okay.
So my vote is Jalen Hurts.
I'm going to start off by saying I think Jaden Daniels will be the best when it's all said and done.
I think will be. But yes. Right now,
but,
I think it's Jalen.
But it's just it's too early, right? He's only played 1 year in the NFL. I don't believe that wins are a QB stat.
Nope.
Okay, but having a good quarterback does determine winning.
Yes.
What is the most important thing for a football team?
To win championships.
To win championships, right? Out of the last 9 championships, going back to NFL, college football that Jalen Hurts has been a part of, he's played in 5 of the last 9.
Mm-hmm.
Dude just finds a way to win. Now, I don't think he has the best arm. I wouldn't say he's the best runner, but he's a dang good runner.
Mm-hmm.
But he wins, and he's overcome so much adversity. Jalen Hurts is the best quarterback in the NFC right now.
I agree.
Based on that.
I agree with everything you just said there. Let's get to your text, 615-737-1025, our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Matthew in Nashville says, give me Goff or a healthy Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford, I think you could throw into this conversation as the best quarterback in the NFC. Problem is, the wheels are falling off.
Yeah.
He's getting up there. He can't really stay healthy. Now, if you were to say this 3 years ago when he led that team to a Super Bowl, I would 1,000% agree.
Oh, yeah. That was impressive.
Impressive.
I worry about his back because what does he have? What, you explain this? What is it? What's the injury? It's like...
It's like a disc, like something in his lower back. I'll double check real quick.
But he has like something, he had something seriously wrong with his back in training camp. And I worry about that because at that age, like that's not easy to come back from. I still think the Rams are dark horse Super Bowl contenders this year for the NFC, but that does concern me.
John says, this year Stafford and Baker Mayfield have a chance to be with the wide receiver rooms they have to be on top.
I do like the Baker Mayfield mission.
Baker Mayfield, I thought about putting on this bowl because I think he's a dark horse like in this conversation, and I think he has a great story. He has emerged as one of the, I don't want to say one of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL, but I think he's in that second to third tier of guys that are good and serviceable and good quarterbacks. Has he lived up to his number one overall pick hype? Probably not. But I think he has kind of resurfaced his career after his time in Cleveland and then the whole Panthers and Rams fiasco in Tampa Bay. And like the other guys we just mentioned, Stafford and Goff, he fits that offense so perfectly with the receivers that are around him. I think you could throw him into this conversation. The thing, like I said, I think Hurts just has that one trait. Winning is one of those. And I think it's his legs that set him apart.
Yeah, you're right, because that's the way the NFL is transitioning to. Instead of being a pocket passing quarterback, you have to be a dual threat quarterback. I mean, we've seen it in the draft. I mean, minus Tyler Shaw, because that's just an anomaly. But you look at Cam Ward being one of those dual threat quarterbacks. You look at Spencer Rattler, who is now the, I guess, quarterback for the Saints.
Where is he in this conversation?
No. Good Lord, no.
Jackson Dart!
Yeah. Let me temper expectations here. And to Parker's point about Matthew Stafford, it was like a slip disc. Kind of the same thing with what's his name, Michael Parsons?
Michael
Parsons.
According to Jerry Jones, Michael Parsons.
We're going to miss Michael in Dallas, but yeah, hopefully he does well in Wisconsin. He has that little slip disc thing going on, so hopefully he doesn't have to have an epidural like Michael Parsons does. So, back to the quarterback standpoint, I look at Baker Mayfield in comparison to any other quarterbacks in the NFL. He's like the Justin Herbert under Brandon Staley. Like, he has really good pieces around him. I think Baker has a little bit of a ceiling on him when it comes to being in Tampa. I think he can win their division, and that's about it. Get them into the playoffs. Don't get me wrong, I think Baker's a really good quarterback.
Yeah, but. No, I don't think he's... Kind of like you're saying, I don't think he's the kind of quarterback that can set you a tier above teams in your division.
Right. And to the degree of, you know, looking at Jalen Hurts running with his legs, Baker does that a little bit, not to that, I guess, extent. Jalen Hurts, I'm just going to have to disagree. I don't know. I guess I'm an old soul when it comes to quarterbacks like this. I'd rather take a pocket passing quarterback that can move the ball down pretty quick, because in the grand scheme of it all, if the Eagles are down by 2 possessions, that game's over with. And just to be frank with you guys, because if you have to rely on Saquon Barkley to open up for a 60-yard run, that might not happen. Now, more than likely, it won't happen. So I'm with Jared Goff on this one.
I think the thing about Jared Goff that is amazing is they threw him away in L.A., dude. They threw him to the website, but Dan Campbell and that city of Detroit really welcomed him in, and that boosted his confidence, and that got him where he is today. Yeah. I really think that that situation of a coaching staff believing in you, a city believing you, a team believing in you, that can flip you around. And I think the same thing with Baker Mayfield in Tampa, yeah. that sometimes you just need a change of scenery. Sam Darnold in Minnesota is another great example. Mm-hmm. So I really love that.
A name that I've not heard. I'm in on Jared Goff, by the way.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
He's been I have him in a keeper league for fantasy, and he has really pulled me out of some tough spots. Mm-hmm. But a name that I've not heard that I would tell you is probably one of the best quarterbacks as of like 3 years ago, Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of worried about like where he's at on this list. I know CMC is, I think he's dealing with a calf mm-hmm. that he may not play tomorrow. You know, like where does this San Francisco offense go after a really tough year last year? So, I mean, it'll be interesting to where, you know, see where Brock Purdy goes this year.
Yeah. I think he's been kind of figured out. Brock Purdy doesn't do anything for me, and I think the San Francisco window is closing. 1329 says he agrees with Parker and I. Hurts is the best QB in the NFC because Hurts is a winner. And I don't think that's the only thing you can measure what the greatest quarterback is. Talent comes in.
It's like I said, wins are not a QB stat, but that dude just finds a way to win, like, and that's the clutch.
Like, here's something I believe. Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time, right? Because he's got 7 rings. He is the epitome of greatness. That said, I think Joe Montana is probably the more skilled quarterback than Tom Brady.
Okay.
You could make the argument. But it's like MJ and LeBron. LeBron's had the better career because of longevity's sake. But Michael Jordan's the GOAT because Michael Jordan has the greatness factor with him. You put Michael Jordan in the league today, he's dominating the same way he dominated 30 years ago.
Take the Jalen Hurts Super Bowl away from last season and just look at it from that point of view. What makes Jalen Hurts and Jared Goff different from a resume standpoint?
That's a fair point.
Because to me, that would lean more into Jared Goff. He's made that Super Bowl appearance. So has Jalen Hurts. You know, I mean, if you include their Super Bowl appearance that they won last year, that's 2 Super Bowl appearances over 1 for Jared Goff. I get all that. But you have to look at it from bullet point to bullet point for me. I mean, you have a guy that sets a franchise record in total yards in a game, throwing 412 yards. That was that crazy game versus Kansas City. It was like, what, 61-59 or something like that?
You remember that game? Oh, the Monday night game.
It was over at, Rose Bowl, but the Coliseum.
The LA Coliseum, yeah.
I mean, stuff like that, you have to put into a factor. I mean, nonetheless, those are individual, you know, standpoints of his career, but those all build up to greatness. They all build up to a really good career. And, like, I get it. Championships do set you apart from everything else. I get all that. But take that Super Bowl away, what makes him different? How does that separate either of them?
It's a fair point. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. You can get in on the conversation. We'll continue this conversation up next because it's getting a lot of great interaction, and I think it's an interesting conversation to have. Also, contract details for Amani Hooker's extension have just come out. We'll give you those coming up next here on the Weekend Huddle. Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, Nick Frazier here with you on a Saturday morning on 102.5 The Game. Weekend Huddle broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Hey, the Commodores take on Virginia Tech today. Pre-game at 5 p.m. and kickoff at 6:30 p.m. Vanderbilt football brought to you by Gary Force Acura and Smoky Mountain Tops. Weekend Huddle, of course, sponsored by LPL Financial. Investment advice for you in the short term and for the future. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly here with you. We're going to continue this conversation because it's been getting a lot of texts and we want to get to some of those. Who is the best quarterback in the NFC? Parker and I say Jalen Hurts. Frazier has thrown out Jared Goff. Texter on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, Ron says, where's the love for Jordan Love?
Not quite there yet. I put him in the tax bracket of Jaden Daniels. That's the tax bracket I put him in. I think Jaden Daniels is over Jordan Love right now. This year is the prove-it year for Jordan Love to really set his precedent in the NFL.
I'm with you.
Because you now have Matthew Golden. You have a true wide receiver number one. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have Tucker Kraft as their tight end. A lot of young pieces on that offense. And I just think it all needs to click in one season to really see what you have as a true NFC contender of a quarterback.
I think there are five quarterbacks this year that can knock down the door to becoming elite, and I think Jordan Love is one of them. I think he's really, really, good slash great, but I'm kind of with Frazier. Like, I just want to see him kind of. I think they're a Super Bowl contender with Micah Parsons now. If they're able to get to that point, and Jordan Love has a phenomenal year, then I'd be willing to say he's in that category. But as of right now, I'm going to hold off.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I think he's a good quarterback. I think he's a good game manager. I'm curious to see what he looks like with Matthew Golden now. Does Matthew Golden elevate him to a new level? Because you look at the Green Bay receiving room, not a lot of elite talent there, right? Like, it's a lot of wide receiver twos on other teams with Jalen Reed and Christian Watson, who's always hurt. Now you have Romeo Dobbs, all these guys like that. They don't have that elite wide receiver talent like they have in the past with the Aaron Rodgers era, where it was Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb and Devontae Adams and guys like that. They don't have that. However, they seem to produce the passing game quite effectively with Jordan Love. So I'm curious to see how he takes that step up. Abel on our YouTube chat, I'm going to give you an opportunity to defend yourself here, Frazier, says, Goff over Hurts. What a god-awful take. Hurts has outplayed Mahomes in both Super Bowls. Hurts is the MVP in every big game for the Eagles, and Goff is just another guy. Nick Frazier, your thoughts?
I mean, don't get me wrong. Jalen Hurts has more awards and honors. I get all that. But if you look at statistically speaking, this guy is, I mean, I've been in the league a little bit longer than Jalen Hurts, but overall has a lot more stats that have helped his team get to where he needs to be. Again, I get it. He uses his legs. But when you have a guy like Jared Goff, that's the quarterback you want. That's the true system, not a system quarterback, that's the true quarterback you need if you want to go to the next level. And some people may say differently, but I'm not in the camp of dual threat quarterbacks like the Eagles run. I'm just not a fan of the Eagles offense. It's not fun to watch. It's run, throw a pass once or twice. Run, throw a pass here. Run. I don't like that. It's boring. If you want to watch a fun environment and watch a great game,
watch the Eagles.
You're disgusting. No. Watch the Detroit Lions. They have everything.
I was pretty entertained by the environment on Thursday night until we got that lightning delay.
I mean, you could get your spitting battles any time of the day, but, I mean, come on now.
I will say Jared Goff is the better passer. I don't think there's any disagreement there.
Yeah.
At least I hope not.
No, I agree.
Yeah. But I don't think Jared Goff is elite at anything. Maybe accuracy, but Jalen Hurts is an elite runner. So he has that going for him, and he shows up in the big games. So I'm still going Jalen Hurts.
Texter asks, do we have game day on? A kid just made a kick and won 200K. Yes, it is on behind me. Obviously, I can't turn around mid-show and watch the kick, but I was informed that the kid won 200K, so congratulations.
We have been working back here that if College Game Day comes to Vanderbilt at any point this year, we're going to try to get the show out there, and our own Nick Frazier will kick the field goal for Pat McAfee. Yes. We're going to make it happen because he said that he could do it.
I could do that in my sleep.
Here's what you're going to do.
It's a chip shot.
You can do it in your sleep. Here's what you're going to do.
Okay.
You're going to wear a cowboy hat, and you're going to wear boots. You're going to go out there and kick it, and you're going to win us a lot of money.
So wait a minute. I got to do this in cowboy boots?
Is it harder or easier to do it in cowboy boots?
It depends on what type of cowboy boot.
Like, if we're talking like leather boots.
No, I mean, yeah.
Does that give you an advantage?
Cowboy because boots, leather.
Whatever you got to do to give you an advantage and win this station a lot of money is what you're going to do.
You
can open your own restaurant.
You've now opened up Pandora's box here, Parker. There is kangaroo leather, synthetic leather. There's cowboy boot leather.
Open up a Pandora's box.
Kangaroo leather is used for soccer cleats. Synthetic leather is used for majority of football cleats. And then you have your regular cowhide leather that you use for your
kangaroo
cowboy
leather. If that's what they use in soccer cleats, that's what you need to use.
Oh, it's cheddar cheese, man. Yeah, I mean, you might as well just sign the check for me.
615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to get in on the conversation. Coming up next, big game for the Commodores as they head down to Blacksburg to take on Virginia Tech tonight in a rowdy, rowdy environment. What's at stake for them? Do they come out with a win? Plus some other games going on tonight and today. Oklahoma, Michigan, of course, is where game day is right now. We got a border war tonight, Kansas versus Missouri. And for all my Cats fans out there, we'll talk a little bit about Kentucky and Ole Miss. That's all up next here on the Weekend Huddle. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly with you right here on 102.5 The Game. Oh, I feel like Notre Dame's about to kick the ball off. They're on a bye week this week, so we don't get that. But They're about to kick it off. Hey, on September 18th, Tim McGraw will be performing at Trinidex Rock the Cradle in Nashville, a meaningful event supporting newborns and moms at Ascension St. Thomas Midtown. Get your tickets now at rockthecradle.org. Welcome back in. Weekend huddle here on this beautiful Saturday morning. It is definitely not gloomy and storming all day. Go out and enjoy your day. Connor Dude, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly here with you. And fellas, it's game day, as I mentioned. A big game for a team locally here in Nashville, just off West End. The Commodores of Vanderbilt are headed up to Blacksburg, Virginia to take on the Hokies. Of course, we all know how that game went last year. We went to overtime. Vanderbilt upset Virginia Tech here in Nashville. They are underdogs on the road, headed up to Virginia Tech. What do we make of this one? How do we think this one plays out? And who comes out on top in Blacksburg tonight?
I'm intrigued to see if Vandy does what they did last year against Virginia Tech and spreads the ball out like wide down each sideline, because that's how things went in close games for them. Those big matchups, instead of going right up the middle and playing vertically, they played horizontally. And if they tend to stretch that out, that's how they, you know, manage the clock. But I think this team's a little different this year. There's a lot more maturity in this offense. I think, Cedric Alexander in the backfield and Diego Pavia makes a good punch there. I mean, Eli Stowers has been one of those guys for them that's just been that X factor as a tight end. Probably the best one in the nation in some regards. So would like to see if they, you know, decide to switch things up and not play horizontally.
When we had Andrew Allegretta on Next Man Up, I believe earlier this week, he talked about when Vanderbilt played Charleston Southern last week and gave up 3 points, that they were genuinely upset that they didn't get the shutout. There's a different swagger. There's a different moxie with this Vanderbilt team. Don't care that they're going on the road, a tough environment in Lane Stadium. Brent Pry is on the hot seat with Virginia Tech this year. Their defense played good for about 2.5 quarters versus South Carolina last week. I think Vanderbilt's going to get the win on the road. Very excited to see how Diego Pavia plays in a pretty hostile environment. They're going to be ready to go. But isn't it a shame that when we talk about Virginia Tech, we don't talk about the product on the field as much as we talk about the Enter Sandman entrance?
Yeah, but I think if you watched the game on Monday, I think you saw that product on the field defensively, and you're like, that's a team that compete in the AFC. Maybe that's a low bar because the AFC is not a great conference. And
ACC?
Wait, AFC?
AFC. ACC.
When did they join the NFL? That's the 33rd NFL team right there, not UNC.
Virginia Tech. Sorry, ACC. AFC. We just talked about NFC, so that's where my head was at. The ACC. Obviously, I think that's Clemson's conference to lose, and Miami might be a step above them. But you've got these middle-tier teams in the ACC, like Virginia Tech, like Georgia Tech, I think you could throw in that conversation, maybe Pitt, teams like that that are kind of SMU, middle of the pack, maybe not true contenders, but dark horses to win that conference. I think Virginia Tech is kind of in that conversation. That said, you mentioned the environment. Environment is absolutely going to be a factor tonight. They are in a wild environment at night. And if that crowd is anything like I believe that crowd to be, and like our friend Jake Lyman has told me that crowd is throughout the game, if they are in it, then I think that's going to become a factor. That said, the key for Vanderbilt tonight is to take the crowd out of it. Go down, score on your first possession, hold them to a three and out, score again. That crowd is out of it, and they're leaving by halftime. That's the key. You got to take the crowd out of it, because that's an added element that'll come to get you later. It's like the video game, right? You take the crowd out of it by scoring early, the stadium pulse goes away, and then you're smooth sailing. That's what you got to do.
Commanding the game.
Yep.
They are the pilots of the game in some regard. You make a great point. I was talking with Jake earlier about that this week when Allegretta was on. That environment is something Pavia has not experienced yet.
Yep.
And obviously you play in the SEC week in and week out. He's, you know, beaten Auburn on the road when he was at New Mexico State. That's all great and all, but this is new territory, uncharted waters. And if he can command those waters, like you're saying, it could be their night.
The toughest environments that I can think of for Vandy that would compare is LSU, obviously playing there last year, played at Auburn. He played there twice, one when he was at New Mexico State, the other when he was at Vanderbilt.
But, and one twice.
Yeah, so I don't think that this is going to phase Diego Pavia at all, just considering how he is, his personality. I'm very excited. I seriously think this can be a sleeper good game. I'm really excited for it, but I think Vandy's going to win.
My gut just tells me that Virginia Tech is going to pull this one off. It's just
a revenge tour for the Hokies.
Yeah, revenge tour. I think Kyren Drones, he is such an up and down quarterback. Reminds me a lot of Will Levis, actually. Such an up and down quarterback, but I think he just has enough juice to get the job done. Virginia Tech didn't score a touchdown last week. Do you think they're going to come into this week and think we are not going to get into that end zone again? No, they're going to be targeting that thing like it is, you know, a cookie in the end zone. Like everyone wants a piece. I just have a gut feeling that the environment is going to become a factor for not Diego Pavia, but the rest of the roster. I think Virginia Tech might pull this one out. But like I said, if you take the crowd out of it, then you don't have to worry about that. And Vanderbilt may take the top off and win this one. But my gut just tells me Virginia Tech.
Is it a double chunk?
Which is great. I've only had it once, but it's pretty good.
Uh-huh. Good one. Gotta love those guys. That was a good joke, yeah. I try to get my dad jokes in as much as possible.
Couple of other games going on today. Of course, Oklahoma-Michigan is the big game of the day. That's where game day is right now. That one should be interesting. My gut tells me Oklahoma on that one just because of the home environment in Norman. Border War. Kansas versus Missouri. A rivalry that does not get talked about enough. Mm. Parker, you look very, very excited to talk about this.
Guys, I am oddly interested in this game because they haven't played this rivalry since 2011. It's truly one of the great rivalries in college football. Did you know that this rivalry goes back to slavery? They've been playing this thing since slavery. Imagine the North and the South are going at it, but they're focused on Kansas and Missouri. Who's going to win this game? That's how intense this rivalry is. I'm so excited they're bringing it back. It's going to be a high-scoring hammer the over in this game. It's set at 49.5. Hammer the over, but I'm taking Missouri.
Did Missouri not lose their starting quarterback last week to a broken leg?
They did, Sam Horn, but they were running a dual quarterback system. I don't think Eli Drinkwitz named a starter officially, but it's the Bo Prabula show.
Bo Prabula.
That was the Penn State transfer, yeah. He was pretty decent last year when they kind of put him in for, you know, those games that were already taken away for Penn State. It was a big market games of 52-0, 41-0. He showed up pretty good.
All right, Wildcats. Let's talk about it. 615-737-1025. Air out your grievances. I'm here for you. This one's not going to be pretty. Ole Miss is 8.5-point favorites on the road. I think Kentucky covers. I really do. I hope they cover because I filled in for David on Take It to the Bank, and that was one of our called shots. So for his sake and for my sake, I hope they cover, and I hope they win. But I don't know. This team's just not very good. The defense looked good last week, but it was also Toledo. I don't know. I don't think this one's going to be pretty.
Is this game in Kentucky?
Yes.
Hey, weather might play a factor. You never know.
It's a blue-white game.
It's what yeah.
They've got one side of the stadium is in all blue, the other side is in all white, and they wore the exact combo that Coach Newt would have worn in this situation.
That's what, I mean, did you expect Kentucky to win this game last year?
No, but it was
in Oxford,
and
too.
In the Vaught. Nope. And I think Ole Miss is a little bit worse than they were last year. That said, Austin Simmons, I think, is a good quarterback. They've got some good, talented young receivers on their squad. Kentucky doesn't really have the quarterback play or the receivers. So it's going to be ultimately up to the running game. Dante Dowdle and Seth McGowan, who were both fantastic last week against Toledo. It's going to be up to them. But I'm hopeful today. If they can get this one and win all the non-conference games, of course, that would be four wins. Then you knock off, Tennessee and maybe a team like Vanderbilt that you can beat. Then I feel good.
I see Jake Wallman laughing behind the glass when you just said that.
Yeah, he can laugh. I'll be there.
Every year. That's the thing about it.
What?
Connor gets really just spiced up for some Kentucky football. No, we know this.
And that's fine because we get spiced up about Tennessee and Frazier gets...
I'm not allowed to be passionate?
No, I'm not saying that. It's just every year, Kentucky fans can set themselves up for some failure.
It's just something... Football is just a hobby until it gets to basketball season for Connor, okay?
That is the most ironic thing I've ever heard.
I have a
comment.
Go for it. I think Tennessee fans do the same thing.
Yep, that's what I just said.
Do we not hear this every single year from...
We're going to the playoff!
No,
we're going to win a national championship!
This is our year.
Yep.
You hear it every single year.
I did not say that this was our year.
I'm not saying you do. I'm just.
I didn't say this was our year.
He didn't say.
He's talking about the toxic side of the Vol Twitter. Yes. That's what he's talking about.
There are toxic sides of every single fan base.
I said maybe you pull one off. You're not supposed to against Tennessee. Do I think they're going to go in and beat Tennessee? Hell to the no.
Hey, you never know.
But you never know. This is college football.
Let's be honest, though. There's no fan base worse out there with expectations than the Dallas Cowboys, okay? Dallas Cowboy fans are the worst at that. Yeah. Every year's their year. Yeah.
You might be you might be tied for them.
What week is Kentucky-Tennessee?
It's late October. It's in October.
Yeah, it's late October.
Let me get the date, the exact date.
I don't know if I want to come in for the show that day. I mean,
I probably won't be here.
Really?
I'll be there.
He'll be in Lexington. So it's October 25th. And it's probably going to be a night game. It says on ESPN it's between 6 or 8 p.m. Eastern time.
Yes.
Under the lights, Kroger Field, which is a stupid name for a field, if I must say.
I call it Commonwealth. It's Commonwealth Stadium.
It's Commonwealth Stadium. It's Thompson Bowling Arena.
Yep.
You know.
Bingo. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Last call for phones as we leave you to get you set for some college football here on the air. I believe it's Baylor and TCU.
Yes,
playing
it is.
Right after us?
Yeah.
Baylor SMU.
SMU.
The Mustang.
It's the three.
Saddle up. Saddle up, everybody.
Pony Express.
Yep.
It's the three-letter teams. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. When we come back, we'll play our favorite game. Where are they now? I will host Nick Frazier and Parker Kelly. We'll go to war. That's up next here on the Weekend Huddle. Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, Nick Frazier here with you one more time on 102.5 The Game.
I saw an opportunity.
Final segment of Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game. Hey, if you're out watching the NFL games tomorrow, come out to Twin Peaks in Madison. Big Joe and Chris Sanders will be hosting the game's pregame show from 1 to 3 p.m. prior to the Titans season opener versus the Broncos. Pregame show is brought to you by Parman Tractor and Equipment, Old National Bank, Circa Sportsburg, Kentucky, and Tennessee Brew Works. Should be a fun show tomorrow. First one of the year, Titans and Broncos tomorrow at 3:05 Central. So go hang out with Chris and Joe. They'll treat you to a good time. Final segment, as I said, here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly here with you. And as we wrap it up every week on this show, we play the fastest rising game in 102.5 The Game history, and that is Where Are They Now? Last week, it was a duel between Frazier and I. Ultimately, I edged out the victory 3-1, I think.
That is correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, still looking good on the board.
Pitchers matchup right there. Is that the term?
Pitchers duel.
Pitchers duel. Yeah. Thank you.
Big baseball guy over here.
Huge, huge.
So Frazier and Parker Kelly are going to do battle right here as I have prepared five players slash coaches. You will tell me where they are now. A refresher on the rules. The first three are within North America. That's the United States and Canada, and even Mexico. The other two can be anywhere throughout the world. Coaches are now permitted, so a coach could be in here, and in fact, he is. 1 point for league, 2 points for precise team. In the event of a tiebreaker, I will give you the career path of a professional athlete. I'll give you the sport before. Your job is just to tell me who is that player. Are we ready?
Let us do it.
Your line was aye, captain, but that'll work.
Aye, captain.
All right. Hit the music. All right. Our very first contestant on this beautiful Saturday morning, former head coach of the Memphis Grizzlies, the Cleveland Cavaliers, J.B. Bickerstaff. Where is J.B. Bickerstaff coaching right now? And you both just have blank faces. Meaning you.
Who?
J.B. Bickerstaff? He took the Cavaliers to the Eastern Conference Finals a couple years ago.
I am aware of this name.
Yes.
But
with
I
LeBron?
Tell
when
you.
LeBron was there?
No. That was Ty Lue. This was with Donovan Mitchell and Evan Mobley.
I don't remember them going to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Recently. Yeah, it's recently. Okay. Oh, I go first. I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
He is in the NBA, still in the NBA, and I will go with the Utah Jazz.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. He is in the NBA. I believe he's coaching the Phoenix Suns.
You are both correct. He is still coaching in the NBA. He's with the Detroit Pistons. So You were on the opposite end of the map there, pal. But it's okay. So we are tied 1-1. Number two, former Kentucky wide receiver. You knew one was coming. Former Kentucky wide receiver was pivotal in the 2018 team with Terry Wilson at quarterback position. Josh Ali. Where is Josh Ali playing football today?
UFL, and he plays for the San Antonio Brahmas.
Get prepared for the elements.
I know. I think I am prepared for this element.
Sorry, there was an ad.
It's okay. Parker, where is Josh Ali playing?
So Frazier kind of rolled that one off the tongue, so yeah, it makes me think that he knows what he's saying. So I'm going to – can I say the same thing?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, same thing.
You're both wrong, but that's fine. He is in the CFL for the Saskatchewan Roughriders.
Oh, that was my next guess.
So we are tied at one. Our third and final player in North America, a kicking legend from the University of Georgia, former Indianapolis Colt, Hot Rod Rodrigo Blankenship. Where is Rodrigo Blankenship kicking the football these days?
He is in the UFL. I do know this. I believe so. And he plays for the Birmingham – is that the Stallions? The Birmingham Stallions?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to go that. Yep.
I saw him play in a UFL game this year, so I know he's in the UFL. For the Washington Defenders.
He is in the UFL.
DC Defenders.
DC Defenders. He is in the UFL for the St. Louis Battlehawks. So we are knotted at two. We may come down to the wire here as we head towards the worldwide portion of this game.
Here comes Southeast Asia.
Here we go. You guys have seen the movie Hustle, right?
Oh, yeah.
Bo Cruz. Where is Bo Cruz, a.k.a. Juancho Hernangómez, playing basketball these days?
I'm going to say in Spain. No. France. Say he plays in France for Monaco.
Okay.
He's Parker. Playing in Lithuania for whatever team is over there.
He is playing in Greece for Panathinaikos. However you say that. Sounds like a Greek yogurt brand. Yeah. So
delicious.
We are knotted at two, headed towards our final pick, or our final player of the day. And I know Parker Kelly's going to get this one right off the bat because it's a hockey player. Where is former Nashville Predator Igor Afanasyev?
Ooh.
Had Igor, some good moments here.
Igor Afanasyev. Where is he from?
He is from, I think he's Russian.
Russian. I say he's playing in the KHL for, I don't know what team's out there. They have a red jersey, whatever that is.
Why, because they're Russian?
No, I'm just saying. I've seen teams that have red jerseys. I'm going to go with that. KHL, and they're playing. Yeah, there.
Okay.
There you go.
Igor Afanasyev, great friend of mine.
Yeah, your favorite.
He's playing in Finland for the Finnish, I don't know. Finland.
The Finnish Slapshots?
Sure.
The Finnish Fish?
Yeah. The Finnish Fish.
He is playing in Russia, so he went back home. He's not in the KHL.
Oh, that's right. Damn it.
He is in the PFC playing for CSKA Moscow.
So the KHL, for our listeners, of course I know what that is, but for the listeners who don't know what the KHL is, what is that exactly?
good question.
Frazier?
So
For the listeners, just explain for the listeners.
It's another league like associated with Russian teams.
So yeah. I'm at an impasse here. Because I don't think we've ever run into this situation. We usually just go by country. But Frazier named a specific league in Russia. However, it is in Russia. So I'm trying to decide, do we give him the point here or not?
No, we have to go to a tiebreaker.
I think,
according to the rules.
Well, here's the deal. The KHL involves countries like Belarus, Russia, and I don't know, maybe a few other countries. But they're all conglomerate in a league.
Yeah.
So, like,
this is just a situation we've never run into before.
You got to give the edge to me, man. You got to do it.
I feel, for lack of the unknown.
Listen to the devil on your shoulder.
Come on, man.
We are headed to overtime.
Overtime! Let's do this thing. Do you have one ready to go?
No, because I didn't think we were going here. So, give me, like,
that is a lack of preparation. Nick Saban would be disappointed.
Go with the North American guy. It's okay.
Yeah, no, I will.
Yeah.
I'm just unprepared.
I still think I deserve to win for those out there listening. I mean, I'm on the same continent, man. I'm just not on the right ice rink.
Another ad. I'm sorry.
Come on, Wallman.
Come on, Wallman.
I don't think being on the same continent constitutes the same league.
I'd have to agree with that. Unfortunately. I'd have to agree with that.
But it involves teams from Russia.
I mean, yeah, but like
if the USA involves, you know, the NFL and Major League Baseball.
Unfortunately.
They're all different leagues.
Frazier, I am sorry.
Yeah. I apologize. You were so close.
The esteemed counsel has spoken.
Yes. AKA our sources up in New York, AKA my consultant, Jake Wallman, has spoken.
I mean, I created this game. What? I'm getting outed on my own show. I mean, own game here. What?
It is very bad.
I just talked to the office up in New York. They're in my ear right now, and they said that it does not count and we have to go to overtime. That's just what they said. Don't shoot the messenger.
All right, I haven't done extensive research, so I'm just going to pull this one out of my rear end. Atlanta Falcons. This is a football player, obviously. Atlanta Falcons. Tennessee Titans. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Philadelphia Eagles. Name that player.
For active player?
Connor just threw me a softball.
No longer active.
No longer active.
No longer active.
Come Julio on. Jones.
Come on, this should be easy.
Julio Jones.
Yeah, it's Julio Jones.
Are you kidding me?
Damn it. So, we're not at three. I got to find another one. Okay. Former basketball player. Sacramento Kings. New Orleans Pelicans. Golden State Warriors. Houston Rockets. There was one more. Los Angeles Lakers. Who is that player?
DeMarcus Cousins.
And that's not in any order, correct?
That is in order.
Brandon Ingram.
It's DeMarcus Cousins.
Dang.
I'm on the board.
It's happened. We've broken the streak.
Boogie Cousins. Frazier with a walk-off.
That's my first ever loss.
Need to add in there. He is banned from the Puerto Rican Basketball League.
That is my first ever loss. I need to go home and I need to reflect in the mirror.
I didn't want to say Puerto Rican Basketball League, but I looked at Frazier's eyes and he knew it.
My eyes opened up. It's just the Golden Gates have opened.
I was scared you weren't going to get Julio Jones. I was like,
kidding me?
Not
I knew
you,
that
him.
As soon as. Okay. I thought he wasn't
not
either,
you,
which
no.
I was really excited about. But
well, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm pretty smart, guys. I may not look it or sound it, but hey, I'm pretty darn smart.
Well, that'll do it for us here today on Weekend Huddle. It's been a blast. Hope you enjoy your game day. Although the slate for college football may seem a little bit down today, it'll still be a fun day. NFL tomorrow, we got Titans action. Make sure you tune in to the pregame show live from Twin Peaks in Madison with Big Joe and Chris Sanders, forever Titans wide receiver. But for Jake Wallman behind the board, for Nick Frazier and Parker Kelly, my name is Connor Newt saying goodbye. We'll see you next week. Baylor, SMU, college football coming up right here on 102.5 The Game.
See ya!